Glad to be in D.C. It's a little colder than New Orleans, but glad to have some seasonal weather. As was already introduced, I'm going to be talking today about the impact of the neighborhood environment on adolescent physical activity and obesity. I am not Catherine Thiel, but I also have no relationships to disclose. This research was conducted, Dr. Thiel conducted this with collaborators at Tulane at the School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine, as well as colleagues at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center, which is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and professors from Louisiana, the LSU School of Public Health, and this research was conducted under her CDCK award. So I'm just going to give you a brief background on some of the neighborhood influences on obesity and obesity-related outcomes, specifically related to their impact on adolescents, and specifically including that differential impact by sex, specifically on adolescent girls. So we know that neighborhood characteristics likely affect individuals in different ways across the life course from infancy to adulthood. There are few studies that have reported the community or neighborhood differences in health outcomes across sexes. So that's what this study, one of the aims of this study. And for this study, in neighborhood studies, the individual and family characteristics are not accounted for. And so if not adequately controlled, they may falsely attribute to neighborhood what are actually family influences. And I'll talk about that in the research that we did and how we nested household ID within neighborhood ID to control for that. So as we all know, there are some issues with neighborhood effects, specifically the definition of neighborhood. Empirically, the definition of neighborhood is often at block or census tract level. In this presentation, I'll use the word neighborhood and tract interchangeably, so that is the definition that we used, but we do recognize that it may not accurately represent the community level of influence on health. Additionally, there is a high correlation between neighborhood conditions, so it's difficult to simultaneously examine the different effects of exposures and outcomes at the neighborhood level. This is a cross-sectional measurement. It's very difficult to measure longitudinal changes, although that may give us a clearer picture. And the relationships, we've already talked about the interactive effects, but these relationships are also nonlinear, so it's difficult to look at them using a multi-level modeling. So the research questions for this project are, do neighborhood conditions influence physical activity and obesity in adolescents, and looking at which conditions play a greater role, and is there a differential impact of physical activity and obesity based on sex? And so the aims of this study, we looked at outcomes overall at the individual level, and we looked at exposures at the neighborhood level, and looked at the effect of those exposures on those individual outcomes. So this data was analyzed. It was a secondary data analysis using NHANES data. There was four waves were used, so it was 1999 to 2006. And we used the in-home survey, medical exam, laboratory data. One thing that was very helpful is that NHANES data is now geocoded, so that allowed us to be able to examine the effect of those neighborhood-level outcomes. The focus of this study was adolescents. The definition, you see different definitions for this particular study. We looked at adolescents aged 12 to 20 years of age. As you can see there were almost 10,000 with geographic information. And as I mentioned, we nested those IDs within both household and neighborhood, and by neighborhood meaning census tract. So the data sources for the neighborhood conditions, we looked at three primary neighborhood exposures: the food environment, the physical activity environment, as well as the social environment. We specifically looked at crime risk and social capital. Today I'm just going to talk about the crime risk measurement that we used. We used data from the census, we used ESRI and InfoUSA data looking at the NAICS codes, which are the North American Industry Standard Codes. North American Industry Standard Codes and ESRI crime risk data as well. So for the food environment, we looked at availability, proximity, measured by distance, and the balance between healthy and unhealthy foods. We didn't end up using the distance measures, but we did use the density measures. We specifically used a measure that was used in an article that I have cited at the end of the presentation by Rundle, and it's looking at the density of these establishments based on previous classifications of unhealthy or healthy. And so that measure looks at the density of establishments per 1,000 population and per roadway mile, and those results were similar for both. For physical activity, we looked at availability and proximity, availability being the presence of recreational facilities. The proximity measurement we used walk score, which actually has been validated itself, although not a scientifically created measure, to look at the walkability of the neighborhoods. For crime risk, an index was created, and that data was used, as I mentioned, from the ESRI data, and so a crime risk index was interpreted from uniform crime reports. Something with this data, Dr. Thiel actually tried to contact local representatives, local municipalities to get this data, and it's very, very, very difficult, so we did the best we could by creating this index. So for the individual outcomes, this was taken from the NHANES survey. We looked at BMI. As you can see, 31% of the sample was obese or overweight. We used the Healthy Eating Index as a control for diet. We used frequency of meals away from home. This does not include meals consumed at school for school lunch and school breakfast because this is an adolescent population, so it's meals away from home, not including school meals. And physical activity, looking at none, moderate to vigorous, moderate and vigorous physical activity. The definition for NHANES is a very loose definition. It's 10 minutes within the last 30 days. But we do feel like because of the percentages and such a large percentage of the sample being none to low, that we will see that it contributes to the significant impacts. So we did not see an effect of the physical activity environment on individual outcomes, but as we would expect, we did see an effect of an unhealthy food environment on increased obesity, BMI, decreased healthy eating index, increased frequency of meals away from home. But the strongest impact, and what I'll focus on today in my presentation, is the relationship between crime risk and the increased obesity and decreased physical activity. And there was a significant interaction by sex for adolescent girls. And so as I mentioned, when you look at specifically for crime risk, if you look at the impact by household, it's huge. If you nest those households within the neighborhood, within the tract level, it decreases significantly, but it's still a significant effect. So what you're seeing here is an interclass correlation coefficient, and it is a measure of clustering. Generally, if it's greater than 2%, that there's something at that group level that could explain the variance in those outcomes. So what you see here is about 3% and 2.5% overall, but the most important part of this slide is that it's significantly greater for girls. So there's something at the group level with adolescent girls that is explaining that variance of the in both for moderate to vigorous physical activity and obesity and overweight. Because of that, we will look at the group level factors that predict that outcome. So for this, you can see that overall, the adolescents in this sample were 16% less likely to participate in moderate or vigorous physical activity and 11% more likely to be obese or overweight. But what is especially interesting is these odds ratios among the girls in the sample. So they're 35% less likely to participate in physical activity and almost 30% more likely to be obese or overweight. And so we did, this is an adjusted model. It was weighted. It's kind of hard to see at the bottom of the slide there, but we did control for sex, age, education, race, poverty, all of those things, and I can give you more information about that if you have questions about the modeling. So because there is this effect modification by sex, and because moderate, it's a significant relationship with moderate to vigorous physical activity and obesity and overweight among girls, Dr. Thiel chose to look at, and this slide is just for girls, she wanted me to add that, look to see if physical activity is a mediator in that crime and obesity relationship. So she first ran the model without the mediator, but she also included other covariates. That BMI unhealthy is another neighborhood measure, just like the high crime. That high crime odds ratio is the same one that you just saw from that previous slide. So the BMI unhealthy is a neighborhood level measure, the HEI score being controlling for that covariate. So same as the other side, if you don't have physical activity in the model, high crime is still significant. The relationship between high crime and obesity, even accounting for diet, which is something that we thought was really interesting. So even accounting for the food environment that they're living in and the individual diet of these adolescents. And so secondly, she compared that to the model with moderate to vigorous physical activity. There still is an effect of crime on obesity, but it is lower. It wasn't significant at 0.05, but it was moderately significant at 0.1. So there was, but what you can see there is that there is still the correlation between obesity and moderate to vigorous physical activity, which we would expect. So overall, these results suggest that there is partial mediation between the relationship of moderate to vigorous physical activity and crime. Moderate to vigorous physical activity and obesity by crime. So physical activity is a mediator. It's just a partial explanation, but it does lead us to want to do more research on the pathway by which living in a high crime neighborhood contributes to obesity. So just some conclusions today that there is an impact of these neighborhood level factors, specifically the food and social environments on adolescent and obesity related outcomes, and that there is the differential explanations by sex specifically for adolescent girls, and that they do reveal these potential pathways, which we definitely want to do more work with that. There are limitations of this study, like I said, we did use census tract as neighborhood. With neighborhood level data, as we all know, there's a potential for selection bias because neighborhood selection, what neighborhood you live in, is not random. So we did do propensity score analysis with this to try to control for that, but that still is a limitation. But to end on the strengths note, the study did look at the food environment, the physical activity environment, and the social environment, and studies rarely look at all three of those together, specifically with food and physical activity related outcomes. The social piece, like I said, we did see association with social capital. I don't have that data today, but if you're interested, you can contact Dr. Thiel. And it was in children. There's been a lot of work at the neighborhood level with adults, but this was specifically in adolescents. It is a nationally representative sample, and we do feel like the results that there was this differential impact of these environmental factors by sex is huge. We feel like there's definitely more research to be done in that area, and we're looking at other mechanisms and mediators that may explain this relationship. There's the reference if you're interested. I'm happy to answer any questions after I'm done, and thank you so much for your time.